were going to talk about the five reasons why no contact fails and why victims go back to their abuser seven times. Why is going no contact so challenging? Let me explain to those who are new to the narcissistic world what no contact means. It means not seeing them, not talking to them, not texting them, and disconnecting them from all your social media. But if I had to pick one word that explains no contact, it would be block. Block them on your phone, your emails, or anywhere that you're connected to them from your past, or anyone that they know from your past. In order to be successful, you're gonna have to block all their friends and people that were friends with them first if you are unsure of their loyalty. This really must include any of their family that you're connected to. So many times, and on other videos, I've explained this, that unfriending them is not good enough because they can always stop by and peek, as well can you see what they're doing, right? It's never good to see that they're taking their new boyfriend to Europe. It's only going to break your heart. Now, that said, if they've blocked you, please don't think that this means you're safe. They can unblock you at any time and peek in. So here you've got this sort of cloak of protection. Oh, they've blocked me, I'm safe. The reality is, they can unlock the door, take a peek, see what's going on, and use that to hurt you later. Blocking them is stronger, and it means that you could comment on, like say, a friend's post, boom, and then they comment and then you comment. You wouldn't even see that they were there. I remember when I first blocked 3X, mutual friends were like, did you see that you commented right after him? And I didn't, and it was so freeing, right? I didn't have to know. My name is Tracy Malone, and I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. I'm a Surthriver, and I'm a narcissistic abuse coach. Let's talk about those five reasons why no contact fails. I know the idea of going no contact is extremely painful and it's really scary. Many victims are usually in love with their person, and even if it was their parent, they have a hard time disconnecting because of the repercussions. If you disconnect from your siblings and your parents, what will the world think? How will they smear you? All kinds of things, right? So it's important to know that going no contact, no matter who they are, is going to protect you. You wonder, when you do this no contact, if the person that you're blocking is hurting like you are. You're wondering, could you get closure if you just stayed in there a little longer? How about if they call and you're not there to hear them? How will you get that closure, right? Sometimes we need to know if they're hurting as much as you are. It's almost impossible to think about the fact that your life might have been, your relationship might have been fake. So you want to know, are they hurting just like I am? That's why people stay connected. Let's talk about the five challenges. The five challenges in going no contact. Number one, there's no rule book. Now, trust me, there's books and courses on going no contact, but that's not the front line. That's not in your face in every possible situation. So when the narcissist pulls something unexpected, say sending you flowers, you get thrown off. Am I right, making the right decision? Is it me? Am I overreacting, right? Your mind plays that trick on you. Number two, the reason it fails is because of flying monkeys. That's why we're disconnecting their friends and family from Facebook so that they don't have access to you. And they might send their best friend to tell you how much they're hurting and how much they miss you and how they're willing to go to counseling now or do anything that you want to prove that they're different and they're willing to work on it. That makes it really hard to stay no contact if you're getting these mixed messages. Most of the time, their promises are just a hook to get you back. Flying monkeys are, in case you don't know, it's the term that means that they're using someone else to do their bidding. Kind of like the witch in The Wizard of Oz. I think that's how it's like coined. Third reason that no contact fails is our own mind. The memories that you share, the good times, come flooding in and cause you to doubt your decision to walk away from someone that you loved. And you question, who does that? Why can't we just try again? Relationships with narcissists are so much more complicated, and often victims of this type of use try to fit it into the normal relationship box while your friends are telling you, oh, it's just a breakup, or it's just another divorce, get over it, right? This kind of relationship will never fit into the normal human behavior of relationship rules. Let's see, the fourth reason that no contact doesn't work is that your phone. You know, when you have a phone and you're constantly getting text messages, it makes it really hard to go no contact, right? We all understand the block part, right? You might not want to do it at first, but we do understand block them means no contact. What I find is that they struggle deleting the photos and videos off their phones. The images of the good times start to take over, and you know, your mind starts to wonder, was that really them when we went over to, you know, Italy? Was that really them? Look at how sweet they were with our daughter. Oh my God, that day was so wonderful. And you look at these pictures and you hear your mind softly tell you, I want that again. Am I making a mistake here? Maybe it wasn't that bad. I can tolerate the bad times. I can tolerate a little verbal abuse, so he or she puts me down. I can take it. Look at the pictures. It makes so much sense. Why am I doing this? Am I hurting myself? Every time you have those pictures there, these feelings are triggered with every single photo. Over and over and over again, you are injuring yourself. Of course, narcissists are certainly capable of having a good time, so don't be confused by that great day. But please know that it didn't mean the same thing to them as it did to you. Do you think that they have photos of you on their phone? I'm guessing no. And that's kind of a proof right there. Please back up the photos and get them off your phone. And maybe even off your computer. Save them for when you're healthier. Every time you look back at those photos, you're re-injuring yourself and you're setting yourself up to fail in no contact. Delete the pictures. Something your phone holds is the text messages. If I had a dollar for every person that held onto text messages and voice messages, I would be so rich. It would be awesome. When the loss becomes so difficult to bear, our mind says, just one quick peek. And then maybe one special day, an anniversary or a birthday, or maybe after a few martinis and beers, you're naturally tempted to look at those photos or looking at those texts. And it makes you sad. If they're annoyingly texting you every time your phone buzzes, your heart skips a beat and it jumps into your throat with panic. Sometimes it's good, maybe they're gonna come back. And sometimes it's, oh my God, why won't they go away? Either thing, this injury is something you are allowing, and you're allowing it by not taking those things off of there. You're triggering yourself. In the worst case scenario, the opposite could also happen. And I've had plenty of people tell me, why aren't they hoovering? Why don't I get the 7 times? What's wrong with me? When this happens, you're adding a healthy helping of rejection to your sadness. The last part of your phone that's dangerous is your voicemails. I know that we've all had people that have died, and saving that last voice message is a treasure and it's priceless. But saving messages from your ex on your phone is dangerous, and eventually you're going to see how harmful it was to keep these memories on there. Every voicemail is a dagger that stirs up that abandonment wound. You have the power to eliminate the pain by deleting the texts. And this will help you avoid the urge to listen to them. This one is number 5. And I think it's like the most untalked about, but I hear it all the time. It's unfinished business. This is the most overlooked challenge because in some ways we might hold on to these things. In some ways we have no choice. You have to clean up your shit. There are going to be situations where you're still connected. Maybe you're still on the same phone plan and you can't afford to get on your own. That leaves the door open for them to be able to spy on you, put trackers on you, and all kinds of things that you really don't want your ex having that possibility. So as soon as you can get off of their phone plan, that would be good. I have an example here. Sally, her boyfriend took out a storage space when she moved in with him like 3 years ago, and he always paid it. They consolidated homes and they didn't need all her stuff, so there it sat in storage. But after they broke up, he continued to pay for a few months. And finally he said, "That's enough, I don't want to," right? Well, Sally was good. She was on no contact mode, but she didn't block him. He reached out to her and he called her and he texted her and eventually he stopped by. This type of unfinished business connection is something that leaves their foot in the door. You can't succeed in going no contact if you still have clothes at their house or their skis or their bike is still in your garage. And this can go both ways too. I want you to think about this. Do you have something in their house or their garage that might give them an excuse to call you back and go, "Hey, I just found your winter clothes box. Do you want to come and get it?" Door opened. More injury. Honestly, this is something that Sally had actually forgotten about for many years because she hadn't paid for it. She didn't remember it. She did listen to the voice messages and she decided to give the storage area a call and give them her card, but she didn't answer him because she was no contact. He didn't know that she'd called the storage area, so he got angry. He felt ignored, and narcissists hate this. The escalation happened when he came over and they argued. This unfinished business kept his foot in the door, and eventually it cost her. And it could have been avoided, right? She could have like stayed no contact, but asked a friend to tell him that she took care of it so that like he didn't have to reach out to her. All of that annoying stuff could have been avoided, right? She could have asked the storage place to also consider calling them and saying, "Hey, we know that you were the payee on this for the last 5 years, but how about now, right? We've got it all taken care of. Your name has been successfully removed off the account." That would have been another way to handle it. But by taking care of it in your own silo, it left the door open for him. Think through this and take care of your unfinished business. Deal with it in a smart and safe manner. I want you to scan your mind for some unfinished business with your ex and clean up your shit. This is the greatest challenge in going no contact, so be mindful and cut those cords of the unfinished business. Another thing on the angle here is to think this through, right? Are we unconsciously or even deliberately not closing these openings with hopes that they might come back? I knew someone that was so worried that she would never see him again that she hid his phone charger. And this was at the beginning of the breakup, but it was an opening to get him back or to get him to call or to get him to text her and say, "Hey, have you seen it?" Or, "Oh, look, I just found your phone charger. Come over and get it." It sounds innocent enough, but it was a manipulation and it prolonged her pain. And eventually she saw that this was like not the smartest thing. And she got mad at herself for dealing with such a childish tactic that she stooped to, just to hold on to someone who didn't want to be held on to. To me, the best way to go no contact is to think of them as dead. For those of you who have been following me for a while, I didn't know my mother was a narcissist when she died, but I still loved my mother. And I wish that I could call her now about so many things. I'll be driving down the road and I'll think of something, but I can't call her because she's dead. One way to look at it is that I'm lucky, because true no contact can only go the same way as a dead person, right? If you start to feel emotional or memories come up and you wish you could talk to them, I suggest that you pick up a notebook and write it out. Don't send it, but get it out of your head. That's gonna help bring you the closure that you're desperately seeking. And then you can always like invite your friends over to drink wine and burn the letters. It's a great way to get it out of you without just trying to get that closure. I know that many of you are co-parenting, and this is a very different situation because you still have to coordinate with your children. But despite the piece of connection that you have with the kids, you can still close off other unfinished business. Get their stuff out of your basement. You are not a storage area. Get it out quickly so it's not 6 months later that you get re-injured. I hope that you found this helpful. It's been such a constant theme with the people that I work with, and I wanted you to understand it. This is Tracy Malone, and I want to hear from you. I love hearing where people are located. So please comment down below and let me know where you're listening from. And maybe tell me what your challenges have been or secrets that you might have used to make no contact more successful. My website, narcissistabusesupport.com, has got listings of support groups all over the country now. Every day I get new submissions and we're expanding into all kinds of countries. So go visit my website and find some resources. And thank you so much for listening. I'm sending light and love to help you find peace. And I promise that if you do the work, one day you will not be home sitting watching YouTube videos or listening to my podcasts. You'll feel more peace than you ever did. I always forget to tell people. Follow me on Pinterest or Instagram or Twitter, or join my Facebook support group. All of these links are on my website. And I will see you again soon. Thank you.